back-to-school time, doing some shopping, and a laptop on your list? Perfect timing. This Bill Wills, our buddy the deal boss, Matt Greenwich, Channel 3's Morning News. Wills Ways to Save is in. You got a laptop deal for us. Tell me about it.
Absolutely. And coming off of the tax-free shopping weekend, it's good if you got your supplies. But for anyone that was on the fence over whether or not to purchase a laptop, maybe you saw me outside of your favorite mall holding up signs in my own picket line that said, don't buy a laptop.
You warned us, yeah.
And that comes down to the lowest price of the year today. It's echoing the same deal we saw leading into Prime Day. More importantly, it's a fully functional quad HD display, top-of-the-line Windows laptop. Bill, the difference between what I found and all the other deals you're going to see, most retailers and bargain hunters are going to give you netbooks. We're talking under-equipped computers where the screen is not much bigger than a tablet.
Okay.
We all know that real estate is valuable for any home office owner, for any student. So nearly 16 inches of display on a laptop that's thinner than the MacBook Pro, fully featured, and with a fingerprint reader.
Wow. Okay. So it's really a lot. That's good.
It is. Fully featured, you'd typically be paying $600 or $700. I found the whole thing close to that $390 price point, brand new, and I am telling you, this will be better and more equipped than anything you see Black Friday.
Matt Greenwich, the deal boss, watch him on 3 this morning. Back here same time tomorrow, Friday. We'll get to some sleepy, soundly savings. Can't wait to hear what you have there. The laptop deal is up for you, WTAM.com, keyword save. Watch the deal boss on 3 back here again in the morning. Thanks, Matt.
Awesome.
Next night, he's got sports mornings, 15:45 past on News Radio, WTAM 1100. What a finish last night, huh?
Yeah, Bill, I'll tell you, the Indians had a 2-1 lead going into the ninth. Cody Allen, blown save, gives up a home run to Miguel Sano. Things got a little quiet then, but in the bottom of the ninth, well, there was Frankie Lindor at the plate with a couple of men on.
Lindor, as the runner goes, swings and drives it. Deep right field. Goal! A joyous jaunt around the bases. And soon a home plate mobbing for Francisco Lindor.
Well, he get mobbed. They were all over him. They had the baby powder, all of it. The Indians win it by a score of 5-2, thanks to Frankie's 29th home run.
So a good pitch to hit, I swung. Just trying to get a good pitch to hit, and just hit it. I was trying to get a base hit. They shifted me, just trying to get a base hit. We don't need 3 runs to win. All we needed was 1, and luckily and thank God, I hit a home run.
You hear that approach there? He was just looking for a base hit. Boy, he just ripped that. That was a laser to right field. Indians now will wrap up their series with the Twins today at 110. Their lead is now 10 over the Twins. Corey Kluber goes after win number 15. Of course, you can hear it all right here. The Browns on their way. Actually traveled yesterday to New York. Antonio Callaway was with the team. Will he play tonight? Remains to be seen. 7 o'clock kickoff against the Giants. And it is a preseason game, but nonetheless, it's the first NFL game for number one overall pick Baker Mayfield, who will see a lot of action tonight, according to Hugh Jackson. We're going to hear from Baker in just a moment. The complete NBA schedule will be released tomorrow, and several reports say that LeBron James and the Lakers' one and only visit to the Q will come November 21st. That is the night before Thanksgiving. Already that with the opening week games released and the Christmas Day games released, well, a little taste of life without LeBron. Cavaliers not involved in any of those games after all those nationally televised games the last 4 years as they go forward. And golf today, round one of the PGA just outside of St. Louis. Home of the Indians and the Cavs, Mike Snyder, News Radio WTAM 1100. Time now for a Browns training camp report brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, your fantasy football destination. Wings, beer, sports. Browns in New York to meet the Giants. It's preseason game one. Now, Tyrod Taylor will start at quarterback, but Baker Mayfield will follow, and Hugh Jackson says the rookie will play quite a bit, maybe as much as 2 quarters. Baker says,
another chance to compete. You know, I think it's going to be a good test for us to see how we translate what we've been working on and, you know, take it out against somebody else and see if we can execute it.
7 o'clock kickoff, Browns and Giants in New York. With your Browns update, I'm Mike Snyder.
Bill Zimfer joins me on News Radio, WTAM 1100. So Trump's attorneys have responded, huh?
Yeah, they have, Bill. They responded to the request for an interview from the Mueller investigative team. They made a proposal for the guidelines for the president to sit down with their investigators. They have responded to this. They have rejected the request by the Mueller team, but made a counter offer. And this all has to do with how many questions the president could be asked and what kind of questions the president could be asked. The president is said to be still considering this. A final answer could come next week. But even if, Bill, the president decides he will not talk to the Mueller team, then the question arises, will they subpoena him? That could touch off a lengthy legal battle that could go all the way to the Supreme Court. And yesterday, also, the president's legal team reiterated that they want this investigation to be over quickly. Hard to believe that that would happen if the president does not sit down for an interview, but still, his attorneys say we're not going to let him walk into what they call a perjury trap.
Without a doubt, that's the advice he's going to get. He can continue to say publicly he wants to talk to Mueller, and you know, people sure can applaud and that sort of thing, but his attorneys are going to say, no, you can't sit down with him.
As Jay Sekulow said yesterday, he said 100 out of 100 lawyers would tell their client not to sit down with the investigators.
No matter the topic or even if you're the president of the United States, right?
You got it.
Bill Zimfer this morning. Bill, thanks.
You're welcome, Bill.
A couple other stories making some news and noise you're going to hear more about today. The Manafort trial. Yesterday, the court heard from the 18th government witness. And at the end of the day's proceedings indicated that they now just have 8 witnesses left. The projected date for the government to finish up, they say, is the end of the day, probably on Friday. There'll be the defense's turn. Then sometime next week in the Manafort trial. There's also a juicy note this morning that, remember Amorosa, the reality star? She was in the Trump hired her in the White House. I'm not sure what her job was. Then she left. Amorosa Newman may have been clueless about how to play nice at the White House, at USA Today says, but she's proving to be a skillful person at promoting her new tell-all book about her brief time at the White House. And they are leaking hints. The latest semi-juicy tidbit about the forthcoming book called Unhinged, an insider's account of the Trump White House, landed yesterday when the flamboyant former reality TV star, some say, may have secretly taped conversations with President Trump and have the recordings on her smartphone. Amorosa did not comment. Her book's publisher said, quote, without commenting on specific contents of the book Unhinged, we are confident that Amorosa can substantiate her highly anticipated account of life inside the White House. So maybe they're tapes, maybe not. But it's interesting PR that at least it's out there. August 14th. That book drops. Have you followed this story out of New Mexico? Federal investigators and law enforcement officers from a couple of states now learning more about that tiny compound in the remote southwest desert. 7 children were 1 to 15 years of age, discovered over the weekend, filthy conditions, a couple of trailers they were living in. The body of one more child was discovered on Monday. In court documents that have been filed, they now suggest that a guy was there conducting weapons training on the property near the Colorado border in New Mexico. The goal, they say, was to raise a new generation of school shooters. That is just a sad, sick, sick story. And probably hear more about this today. Vice President Pence going to talk about space. Trump administration's plans for Space Force apparently still a go. Vice President Pence scheduled to give a speech at the Pentagon today explaining the plan, how it will create a new military branch dedicated to dominating space. Still, any plan to create a space force requires congressional approval, and many continue to doubt that. And you're a fan of Uber? You take Uber or Lyft around here or when you're traveling? It's causing a big problem in a lot of cities because taxi companies are really struggling. Wednesday, this is interesting. Yesterday, New York actually became the first major U.S. city to issue a temporary cap on the number of Uber and Lyft drivers and other rideshare drivers. New York City Council agreed to impose a 1-year freeze on new licenses for Uber and other ride-hailing vehicles, while the city tries to figure out long-term how they're going to handle all these riding companies, rideshare companies, with the rising number of drivers in the city using the apps. The measure is meant to control traffic congestion, which they say has simply gotten worse around New York, like it wasn't already a problem. In the wake of the app-based modes of transportation, the move is seen as a win for New York taxi drivers, who have complained that Uber is hurting their business. Also raises the possibility of additional regulation of the ride-hailing vehicles in other large cities. Lawmakers are grappling with the impact of Uber, Lyft, other companies in the transit network. New York, actually the first major U.S. city to impose a cap. But there's a lot of talk about it in a lot of cities, including ours, about how taxi companies have been hurt because of the ease of Uber and Lyft and with the app and the competition that's happened in that whole sector.
News Radio WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills. Mark Bona, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com with me now. Talking about some restaurants, beers, some different things. He writes on all that and sports and culture at times. Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Morning, Mark.
Hey, Bill.
Hard to believe, but the football season is getting underway. We've got preseason action tonight. Browns in New York to take on the Giants. And I mention that because one of the greats, Joe Thomas, is in your column this week with some beer news. What's going on here?
Yeah, I love this. If I could write every story that incorporates Great Lakes Brewing Company and Joe Thomas, I'd be in great shape. Two of Cleveland's most beloved entities, the former Browns great Joe Thomas, feels odd to say former, has teamed up with Great Lakes Brewing Company basically on a collaborative beer effort. This was a really neat thing. It turns out that Bill Bohr, the CEO of Great Lakes, great guy, is neighbors with Joe Thomas. They started talking about beer. One thing led to another. And Joe came in and helped brew a beer that is called 73 Kolsch. Now, Kolsch is a German style. It's crisp. It's clean tasting. It's refreshing. It's great this time of year. Moderately low in alcohol. 73, of course, is the reference to Thomas's jersey number he wore for all those years and the 10,000 plus snaps in a Browns jersey. So this beer is going to be available in September in the retail market as well as at the brew pub over in Ohio City. So a great marriage. Not the first time the Browns have made a beer with the Browns in mind, but this is, as far as I know, the first time that they had a true collaboration. Thomas was in the brew house helping with the brewing process. So a really neat thing between Thomas and Great Lakes.
Excellent. Okay, we also have Great Lakes Brewing with their 30th anniversary of their Imperial Oyster Stout, right?
Yeah, this is neat because Great Lakes is the first craft brewery in the state of Ohio. Started in 1988, and it is the largest craft brewery to date in the state. They have made a beer, an Imperial Oyster Stout, as you said, for their 30th anniversary. And the reason why they chose that style is because it's the Pearl anniversary. It took me a minute to figure that one out.
Yeah.
This is a fairly big beer. It's 11% alcohol. Bottles are going to be $10. They're going to be... The ale will be available in the retail market as well as the brewery, and this is going to be released on Monday, August 20th. So that's it's a neat thing. I mean, they've had a really good run, that'll be a fun thing for the brewery to celebrate.
Outstanding, Mark Bona, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com with me. Let's talk a little food here. I made a note. You've got an interesting piece too about the Jack Casino and the farm to table approach. With what they're serving out there. Tell me about this.
Well, you know, years ago we were talking about farm to table, and it was a movement. It's basically local foods movement to celebrate, to know how food is grown, where it's grown, what's in it, what's not in it. And it was usually in hip and trendy restaurants. That changed. It moved into the mainstream. Well, now it's expanding even more to casinos. Jack Casino is incorporating a farm to table approach. They have teamed up with several different local produce growers, all in Northeast Ohio, and their creations, their herbs, their vegetables, their fruit, will find their way into the Seven Chefs Buffet. So you'll have everything from zucchini to tomatoes, mushrooms, herbs, lettuce, and a few other items. And it's also going to be in the fast casual options in the casino, Nonapazza and Stacked as well. So, you know, when you're putting your money down, you should at least eat healthy if you're winning or losing.
Yeah, why not? Good for them, though, and good for all of us when it comes to that movement and more restaurants. Okay. Hey, one other note here. Big time with Cleveland Eats. You've got the list for the restaurants, huh?
Yeah, I really like this. This was a fun festival last year. It was the first one. Again, we've talked about this before. This was a special festival because really its goal is to raise awareness for Tri-C's Hospitality Management Center. Now, this is the farm system for people moving into the industry and as chefs, service,
right.
All sorts of different jobs. And this is going to be downtown on Mall B. It's Saturday, September 15th. They've released the list of restaurants. I love it because there's so many different ones. you'll have everything from a lot of places. You'll know, you know, the Burnham from downtown Cleveland will have some food there. Edwin's will be there with their French food. Hex will be there with their gourmet burgers. You'll have some spicy flavors from Irie Jamaican Kitchen and a few others, a lot of pastries. But there's about three dozen that are there. This is $5 to get in, and then you pay a la carte for whatever you want. There's going to be bands playing all day. Really fun time last year. They did a great job enough to bring this back. So hats off to the folks at Tri-C.
Excellent family fun event. You got a son or daughter. You headed to Tri-C. You're involved in the restaurant industry. Something really neat to walk around with them and see what's going on. That's Saturday, September 15th at Mall B. Mark Bona, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com, writes about food, beer, wine, sports, and we love catching up with him each and every week. Follow him on Twitter, too, mbona30. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you, Bill.
Let's talk some travel and getting out of here. Our buddy is Rick Cini at faircompare.com. Hey, before we talk about us, let's talk about you. Back from Europe, I'm sure you've been there many times. Do you learn something new every time you go over about traveling, Rick?
I do. There's all sorts of things about travel. I've been to, I think we were, my daughter and I were counting up. I think I've been to Europe 53 times.
Wow.
I'm not a young man, yeah. But my business partner is Scottish, so I've been mm-hmm. to Scotland a lot of those times, and I am a golfer. But every time I go, I learn something completely new. This time we went to Venice. The first time I actually took a water taxi directly into the airport. I didn't realize there were airports where you could actually take a boat to your
wow.
plane.
That's unique.
Yeah, it's pretty unique. So I didn't even realize that the last time we actually took a train in. So we took a lot of trains all over the place, which I don't get a chance to do very often. And I found it very pleasant, easy to do as well. So it turns out most Europeans, including some of my family members that live in Europe, they all take low-cost airline flights, so nobody's on the trains anymore.
I've got a friends of ours, a couple, they're going to go over to Italy in about a month, and she's so excited, talking about all the research they're doing. And then she said, another friend who had been to Italy said, research, but when you get on the ground, it's just like here when you travel. Ask around. Ask the locals. Where do you go to eat? What do you want to do? How do you have fun? How do you make a memory, right?
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, we actually went with a chef one day, and he took us to the Venice Rialto Market, and we bought our lunch and then went back and cooked it for ourselves. It was
oh, wow.
awesome. So,
cool.
So a bunch of really clever things you can do. I mean, the first time you go, it's all about sort of getting the right selfie with the right tourist thing in the background.
Right.
But once you've been a few times, it's really about having some fun with the locals, and it's always good to ask around from the locals. Social media is a great place to get information on that.
Well, your trip normally starts with a flight. Rick Cini at faircompare.com is a great website to use. I had to be online a couple weeks ago to look for a flight. I was overwhelmed with the options and trying to figure out the cheapest. I mean, you normally went to a low-cost carrier, but there are several out there now, and they've all got different deals, right?
Yeah, so I like to think of it when I'm shopping as sort of three most important things: price, convenience, and loyalty. So if I need to be there at a specific time and I have to be there fast, convenience is more what I'm looking for, and I'm willing to pay for that an extra, you know, $50 or $100 to get that nonstop compared to a connecting flight. If all things are equal and the credit cards that I on the airlines that I happen to have in my wallet are available too, that loyalty part of it comes in as well. So there's a lot of options, a lot of different things, but generally the one tip that I give people the most is just don't buy your ticket inside of 30 days before departure. That you're basically playing right into the airline's hands. The ticket prices go up dramatically at the 30-day mark, down, and then again at the 21-day before you fly mark. So don't procrastinate. If you don't procrastinate, you will get a deal. It may not be the best deal in the world, but it'll be way better than it is if you shop inside 30 days.
And that's that business fare. They normally know those business people got to pay because they got to go. That's why they're charging you more, right?
Yeah, 14 yeah. days is when some routes, depending on where you're going, usually to medium-sized cities, and then 7 days if you're going to a bigger city is when the prices really jump dramatically.
Rick Cini, he is at faircompare.com. Great site to check out if you're planning some travel anywhere, anytime. Rick, thanks for the tips.
Hey, thanks, Bill.
Team coverage of the Browns, Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder, Fred Greetham, our guy from Berea this morning. Hi, Fred.
Hey, good morning, guys.
All right, we got preseason game number one tonight. Couple of questions for you. Let's go right to Mayfield. What are you hearing? How much are we going to see him?
I think we could see quite a bit of him. Depending on how the first series or so goes with Tyrod Taylor. I think Hugh Jackson wants to put him out there. Mayfield, that is, and play quite a bit. One thing, the first team really hasn't scored a touchdown against the defense in that we've seen in the 11-on-11 scrimmages. So I think that the offense needs to get a little something going. And I think that if they sputter in the first series, I think he'd bring Taylor out for another series or two, try to get that offense, get a taste of some success. But I think Mayfield will play the majority of the first quarter, all the second quarter, and he may even play into the third quarter.
Fred and Bill May brought this up to me. All right, we know Jarvis Landry will be out there with that first group, but when Baker's in the game, who's he going to throw the ball to?
It's a good question. Probably Rashard Higgins will get work. He may even start, depending on the Callaway situation, but I think they'll play Higgins a little bit into, the second quarter or third quarter. He doesn't have a lot of experience, even though he's running right now among the top three. I think you're going to see Damian Ratley, sixth-round draft pick, see what he can do. And then they got Jeff Janis. He's a veteran they picked up as a free agent from the Packers. So those are some of the guys I think that will be running with Mayfield. And then a lot of the guys he's been practicing with, Derek Willis, Evan Berry, a lot of kind of free agent guys picked up off the CJ board, Damari Scott. So it will be interesting.
Yeah, it really will, Fred. And as Hugh has said, we're going to see a good bit of Baker, as you mentioned there. And really, this whole situation with Callaway is a blow because he really had moved up to a point where he was going to start, or and maybe he will yet. We don't know yet, but he really had moved to that level, hadn't he?
Yeah, he had. And, this happened Sunday morning, and Corey Coleman was traded about the same time. No matter what they say, it had to be in their mind that they were confident that Callaway, was ready to play and that he was going to be okay off the field. So I think it was kind of a shock to the Browns in that regard because they brought him out Monday, and we talked to him, and after this had gone on and he was out on the practice field, then the word came out that he'd been arrested. So I think that it will be interesting to see how they handle this situation and how this shakes out. But he has looked good. He had a 56-yard catch the other day from Tyrod Taylor. He's fast. He's got explosive moves.
Fred Greatham with us, 24/7 Sports, following the Browns on WTAM 1100. Follow Fred on Twitter, too. Give me a little preview. Nice piece I read this week on Jamie Collins you posted, too.
Yeah, Jamie Collins doesn't really like talk to the media. I mean, he's just... He was brought out for the first time. And, if you remember last year, he tore his MCL when he made a nice interception against the Lions. And if you remember that, Emmanuel Agba and Myles Garrett had been banged up, and it was really about the only quarter the three of them played together, and they really looked good together. And he said he's striving for greatness. He's expecting, a big year. And so the Browns, if he has a big year and you put him with some of the other guys, I think that could really bode well for the defense, especially the front seven.
All right. Fred, we pay you, so you got to watch it through the fourth quarter. I'm not going to check out much past the first half. I don't know. Snites, how about you? How late tonight?
I'm going to stay with it as long as Baker's in the game. Okay. That's my, right.
But
that's
Fred,
my
goal. Fred, you got to be there till it's zero on the time, okay?
Hey, that's what I get the big bucks for, and I get the cameo on HBO's Hard Knocks, all those kind of things. Or the perks.
Yeah, that's the way it is. It's Fred's world, man. All right, back here same time tomorrow morning. Fred Greatham, follow him on Twitter. Browns Giants tonight, 7 o'clock. Channel 5's got it for you. Thanks, pal.
Sounds good.
Now with the Indians update, Jim Rosenhaus in, brought to you by Falls Motor City. Hi, Jim.
Good morning, Bill.
Flying out to Chicago's White Sox start tomorrow night, then Cincinnati on Monday. Got one more here with the Twins, and we've got 110 first pitch today on WTAM 1100. Corey Kluber on the mound. How about last night? How about Lindor, huh?
Bill, I know analytics-wise they say there's not a clutch factor, but, boy, you'd have a hard time convincing folks about that with Lindor because he just seems to come through at the biggest moments. Got a chance to face the same pitcher that he hit a home run off of the night before and didn't waste any time and drove one out of there to win it last night. And I mean, his teammates sense it. Mike Clevinger talked about it after the game, the starting pitcher, that when Lindor goes to the plate in that type of situation, it's hard to expect someone to come through, but with him, you do.
And you hear Frankie talk about it. He wasn't thinking home run. He just said, hey, we don't need to win 5-2. I just need a base hit, and he delivers that home run. But a special player we get to see on a daily basis. Jim, it is kind of mind-boggling, though. He's got 29 home runs now.
Yeah, for a shortstop, and it sure looks like he's going to surpass his career high of a year ago. And you're right, like the approach there that he talked about it. I think any hitter gets in trouble when they try and hit a home run, and he doesn't need to, but he certainly has the power to do it. And as he says, it's not necessarily that he's much stronger. It's just he's learned what pitches he can drive a long way, and when he gets them, the key is not missing, and it sure doesn't seem like he misses very many.
And, Jim, we talk a lot about the Tribe's big three with Kluber, Bauer, and, of course, Carrasco. But, boy, Clevinger, you mentioned him. He deserved better. I know Cody Allen felt bad about blowing the save, which would have given Clevinger a win. But this guy has been very good all year long again, hasn't he?
He really has. And, you know, he got off to a really good start. And sometimes it's easy to forget that you know, this is really that first full major league season for him where he's trying to get to 200 innings. And I think you go through some ups and downs as a young pitcher during the course of the season. And he had gone a while without a win, and then he's still without one even after last night. But I think he's showing that the stuff is still there and he's going to be just fine. He wasn't that far off during that stretch in July where the ERA might have been a little bit higher. And he wasn't winning, but there's still great stuff there, and I think the Indians are really happy to have him as that fourth quality starting pitcher in their rotation.
I know you're an employee of the Cleveland Indians, and we are, of course, a partner of the Cleveland Indians as the proud flagship of the Cleveland Indians. Having said the disclaimer, here's the first question on the spew. Your MVP right now, Ramirez or Lindor?
Oh, man, what are you trying to do? Gosh, if they could ever have co-MVPs, that would be the way to go, wouldn't it? And you just hope they don't cancel each other out when the voting comes around.
But, yeah.
Boy, it'd be hard to pick between the two. It really would, and I can't do it right now. Can I wait till the end of the season?
Yes, you can, because you are an employee of the Cleveland Indians. But still, what a good problem to have, guys, right?
Well, that's a tremendous problem.
A buddy of mine says, look, I want the playoffs now. Now, I'm like, wait, time out. Enjoy what's in front of you. Let's have fun here.
Yeah, and I think the players are doing that too. And has there been much of a challenge for the division? No, but they're trying to do everything they can to try and trick themselves into thinking that the games mean a lot.
Yeah,
and they do mean a lot from the standpoint of trying to prepare for the postseason.
Sure,
and I think we saw it again last night.
All right, Jim Rosenhaus and Tom Hamilton with the call. 1:10 first pitch today. Be there, Progressive Field. If not, have a radio with you. Listen to it on WTAM 1100, GanleyAuto.com, Tribe Insider Munch at noon. I am told I will join him for talking baseball. So evidently nobody else returned his call, and I'll be joining him today. Jim, thanks much.